Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Intention Matters, the podcast. My name is still Paul Madat. Thanks again for joining me today. I have Brian Elsesser. He is Senior Director, Sales Development at AirCall, coming to us from New York, New York. Brian, how are things?
Well, thank you, Paul, and thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Hey, how'd I get the last name?
Perfecto.
Did I crush it right out of the gate?
Right out of the gate, unlike anybody else. You knew it.
I love it, man. All right, we're off to a great start here. So listen, say hi to everybody and provide a quick intro.
Yeah, sure. Hello, everybody. Hello, world. Brian Elsesser here. I am the Senior Director of Sales at AirCall. I'm also a proud father of three, a opera singing fanatic, and a real estate salesperson out on Long Island. Kind of just a little bit of a jack of all trades, but your sales guy.
Well, I'm looking forward to you sharing your story here, Brian. So actually, no, let me do that again. I lost my audio there for a second. Sure. Well, listen, Brian, I'm looking forward to you sharing your story. So let's get into it. So you know the title of the podcast is called Your Intention Matters. And as we were talking about, that really is built on the premise that nothing is really given to most of us and that everything we have starts with mindset and intention. And So I want to start with 2020 because it's been, the word I've been using is unique. Because it's the only really PG word that I can, you know, really think of in terms of the year. And so here we are as we've turned the corner into summer or past summer into September now. And so I know you're in New York. New York has had its challenges more so than other places in the world. So talk to me about the last 5 or 6 months, personally, professionally, what's going on? You said you're a dad. How are things?
Well, I mean, I'd be remiss to say anything other than that it's been a challenge. But I mean, I think so. Challenge always presents opportunity, right? I think that there are some areas in which this pandemic has been nothing short of just a travesty, just with friends and colleagues and people that I know have been personally affected. It's also been a challenge in time. It's been a challenge in connecting with people and feeling connected to your work and into your team. So I think challenge is the word that I give 2020, just in and of itself. I think it encompasses a lot. But we've been doing well. I think AirCall, for instance, we have a team of like-minded individuals all solely focused on a specific goal and drive. And I think that, you know, when you find a group of people that can all come together to accomplish a mission, the realms that in which they do that mission are endless. And so that's been very, very, very successful. I'm also I'm a volunteer firefighter out on Long Island. I'm a very proud one at that. I'm actually taking this call with you, Paul, today from the firehouse. I spent the first part of this pandemic on an ambulance, really, driving to these different calls. And I mention that only to say, like, you see the world and how it's been, it's really been affected by everything that's been happening. And I think that I can say very, very soundly that I feel blessed. And I feel as though, even though I have my challenges, even though I have those things that are going on in our life and that I've had to overcome in 2020 so far, that I can see a greater lens in terms of, you know, how some people haven't been as fortunate. And so, yeah.
Well, I appreciate your service this year. As you know, my wife's a nurse. And so we've had to manage that a little bit this year unexpectedly. And we have two kids like you do, small, 6 and 4. I know your kids are roughly in that toddler age as well. And so I certainly have a strong appreciation for this year on a number of different levels. But the way that I think 2020 in the end, I'm optimistic that the history books will look upon 2020 as a positive year, that changes are coming from this COVID right now is bad. Black Lives Matter is, we're going through that, but I certainly have learned a lot this year. And I really believe that in the end, it's going to look upon and say, okay, 2020 was a year where a lot of things changed for the better. Right now, it's not so good. as we're kind of knee deep in it, even though we're coming through this a little bit, we're still trying to figure out, well, how do we get rid of it? And how does social injustice change? And how do we get rid of COVID? And how do we go back to life as we used to know it? My God, even just 7 months ago, which feels like 7 years ago on occasion. So I have a belief it's going to be a better in the end, and that's how it'll be looked upon. But right now, you know, as we battle through it, you know, it is what it is. So I appreciate everything you've done and the fact that you're still okay and your family's okay and we're getting through this, you know?
I would tell you it's 2020, Paul, has forced us to focus, right? It's forced us to almost come inwards. And you house everyone up in a bottle for a little while and then let the world loose and you're going to have change. And I think that's what we're seeing in a number of frontiers. BLM absolutely being a huge, huge change, well, most needed change in our community and in our culture as a whole. You're seeing the wildfires in California as another major change that's happening even in the environment. What's that doing to families? How is that doing to, you know, different areas and epicenters of life? And then I also like to think also about the, you know, some of the other positive outcomes. And if you would call this a positive outcome, the climate, you know, what's happened to the climate with the shutdown? You see cities that have completely turned off. Yeah. You saw the fogs clear. You saw all this really amazing, amazing, eye-opening, you know, happenings that we wouldn't ever have been bold enough to go and create a solution for on our own unless we were forced to. And I see that as that's just a byproduct of the focus. And so, it's a matter of how you look at the glass.
Did you ever see the photo that was taken in India of the mountains in the backdrop where apparently it's the first time they've been seen in 30 years? There are people who actually live there less than 30 years old. They didn't even know mountains were there. They couldn't even see them before. And now all of a sudden it's cleaned up a little bit and you can actually see the mountaintops however far in the distance they are.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
You know, I remember, what was it, Italy? My Italian... geography kills me. What's the city on the water? I can't.
Venice.
Venice. Thank you, sir. But the fish returned to the Venice canals.
Yeah, dolphins were swimming in the canal.
Like really? Like that's, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate the chance to speak to you. I'm looking forward to you sharing your story. You ready to roll here?
I'm ready to rock. Let's do
it. All right. So we're going to go back in time here. That's what we do with this podcast a little bit. We're going back to 2009. You're at Sunny Potsdam, Bachelor of Music. Talk to me how you convert that into a sales career and sales effectiveness and enablement. I'm dying to hear how you did this.
I loved and still love and always will love singing. I'm a huge, huge musician and have been, and that's where my heart is. And so I think that the answer just right off the bat and to maybe get it started here is that you can accomplish anything in your life if your passions are aligned with it, right? Like I firmly believe that you don't work a day in your life if you're passionate. It's been my goal is not to find my career. It's never been to find my job. It's been to find what I'm passionate about and just go enjoy it because life's too short to not just live passionately. So I got into music. I remember being a junior in high school and I was actually going to go be a lawyer. And I remember my choral teacher pulling me aside and saying, "Hey, we need more men in the choir." And got me into it. And next thing you know, I'm a music ed major at the Crane School of Music at State University of New York at Potsdam. And then from there, I graduate and had my master's at UW-Milwaukee. And I'm singing on a grand stage. I'm singing on some of the biggest opera stages in the Midwest. I was singing overseas and loving it. And then I did that American opera singer thing where you run out of money. And so my initial... you know, scared moment wasn't, oh no, you know, I need to find something I'm good at. It was, oh no, I'm out of money. And at the time I had a girlfriend who I didn't want to leave out in the Midwest and come back to Long Island and everything else that was, you know, my young life was pressuring me to go and care about. And she wanted to be my wife, right? So I made the right choice, I guess. But I went and applied to sell cell phones for AT&T and I didn't get that job. They reached out to me and said, "Hey, would you like to sell Yellow Pages?" And I remember calling my wife at the time and saying, "Hey, so, do you,
do you, what do you think about me selling advertising for Yellow Pages? And she goes, well, does it have a base salary? And I said, yeah, it does. And she goes, well, do it until you can find something that you're good at. And I said, okay, I'll go do it. And you know what? It was like the best, unbelievable path cross I ever had. I loved the job. I was there 5 years. I you know, took the bull by the horns, lived every day by the seat of my pants, and just sort of tried to learn as much as I could. I knew I had really, in my opinion, with no business background, no business education, no business degree, no sales, anything, that I it was on me to be successful or not. And I just had to make sure I woke up every day, get myself into the proper setup. And you call it mindset. That's exactly it. Get into the proper state of mind and then go and tackle it. And I've never looked back. It's just been an absolutely phenomenal career.
You know, I love one of the questions from your girlfriend, now wife, was, does it have a base salary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a question outside of sales, right? I love it. Are you going to get paid every day? Okay, great. Yeah. Take the job then. No problem.
Take the job. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So, Brian, if we go back to your passion for music and the realization that maybe the career wasn't there in this area, did you have visions of a Tony or a Grammy or sustaining a career as a singer in some capacity? And if you did, how difficult was that to really forego that dream?
Wow, good question, Paul. Because that's a question a lot of people don't ask when they find that information out for me, and it was very real. Yeah, I went when I did my master's. So I studied underneath the tutelage of Kurt Ullman, who is a two-time Grammy-winning artist in and of himself. And you know, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't have that same vision in my brain of where I was going to go in my career. I mean, I did a whole bunch of things to get to that point. To even be able to say, hey, I'm going to go sing on some of these big stages and then start winning some of these auditions and get roles from it and start piecing together a career. And then all of a sudden having to be forced to come with, hey, the past 7 years that you've been working on this whole mission is now, you know, null and void. You got to go and find the thing that's going to make you money. And, I think that it's important to mention, there's a lot of advice out there that says, as long as you're doing what you're passionate about, you'll always be successful. And I don't ever want anyone to listen to this podcast right now and be like, oh, see, you have to change your goals in life in order to go and be successful. That's just not the choice. I had other outstanding factors in my life that, you know, I had to think about. I didn't want to move back to Long Island. I didn't want to have to restart in a way what I felt was my adult life living on my own out in the Midwest, out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so I made an active choice to do both. I took this career, this job, if you will, at the time to simply be able to support my voice. That's what I was all about. Hey, look, I'm going to get this paycheck. I'm going to go crush this job. But then I guess what? I get to sing at the Florentine Opera at night. Life's going to be great.
Right.
And all of that was awesome until the day, I remember this, it was like years yesterday, I got my first role contract. For you know, an individual role, very minor role at the Florentine Opera for the upcoming season. I believe it was La Boheme at the time was the opera. And at the very exact same time, I was promoted to management in New York City. And I had to make a choice. Do I say no to the management position and, you know, and hold on in Milwaukee and be a sales rep and, you know, continue to go after this? Or do I make a choice and go after that career aspect? And, you know, boy, I can't tell you what that pain feels like. You know, I could tell you, I when I think of it, it makes me cringe and it makes me, you know, uncomfortable. But what I can tell you from 10 years now into this career and 7 years past that decision is that when you're uncomfortable, that's when change happens. That's when the most amazing things that you could never even imagine for yourself happen. And I think anybody that thinks they can completely predict every outcome in their life is unbelievably, you know, living under a false narrative.
So you're in Wisconsin at this time and you're with Yellow Pages, and Yellow Pages is a company that's gone through more than a few changes over the years. Yes. And so you're coming out of the mortgage crisis from 2007, 2008, you're a little bit further ahead here. And so you talked about management. Did you enjoy management? Was that something that you seeked, or did they seek you out from being an individual contributor to you know, a sales manager?
Yeah, I actually, so when I got started at AT&T, you're right. It was right out of that financial crisis, and the small business owners in the Midwest were hurting. I mean, they didn't want to spend a dollar. And it was, you know, it was like they, for many of them, they were deciding whether to spend dollars on advertising or spend dollars on keeping their door open. And I mean, and you had to try to translate the connection between the two. I got into management because at the time when I first got started, I was a part of this brand new hire series at AT&T that invested in college grads. And they were like, you know what? We're going to invest 6 months into your training. Now, Paul, you and I both know that that's not the way trainings happen today. It's just that mess of work. You barely get
6 hours.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So 6 months, two to 4 weeks in classroom, depending on how you looked at it. And then the rest of it was with a continuation trainer out in the field. They were with you on your calls. You were constantly revisiting the classroom and learning new tactics. And they were teaching you the foundations of sales. They had partnered up with Harvard Business School, and had done like an online partnership there. And so the education was just, it was all there for you to, for the taking. One of the things they also had was a manager apprentice program. And I knew you know, I'm that kid in high school that was president of the student body, like complete nerd that liked to run different school orgs and things of that nature. And I also like being in the control of my own destiny in a way. So, but in terms of like strategy and planning, I like that. I knew that that's where our skills lived in mine. And so I had an amazing mentor. His name was Nick Graham. I still keep in close touch with him today. But just a tremendous manager who took me under his wing and was like, hey, let me show you what I know about managing teams. And so I knew that that's where I wanted to go. And at the time, so you get a company like AT&T who's been around 30 in this market, selling advertising for 30 years, right, at this point, maybe even a little bit longer. And you have this company. And so to get a management position 3 years in is kind of unheard of, right? It's a company that's been around a bit. So their managers have been around a bit.
Did you have to sell your wife on New York?
Oh, so yes. So I got that job. And next thing you know, I'm heading out to New York to lead the team out there.
My wife was in Marquette University finishing her master's. And we spent 6 months apart.
Is that Chicago?
No, that's Milwaukee too. Okay. Marquette's in Milwaukee. And so I got the, I guess that 6 months apart was the selling feature in and of itself, that she came out and she transferred to NYU. And the next thing you know, she looked at it as like, we were going to be in New York for like 5 minutes. She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to live the Brooklyn dream. You know, I'll be in the city for a quick bit and life will be good. We're still here. Yeah. So it's been, you know, you never know where life's going to take you.
So now this takes us to the end of 17, give or take. End of 16. I'm sorry if I have my math correct, but I've been referring to it. So you've been talking about AT&T, but I mentioned Yellow Pages. So
yeah, it's the same company.
Same company.
Yep.
Well, why do I not know that Yellow Pages is part of AT&T? You think I would know?
Well, they were at the time, and then they sold off. So we had there was a big acquisition by Dex right around the time that I left.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is the organization that's moved you, shown some trust in you. They've invested in you. Easy decision to move on. Hard decision to move on.
Yeah, I think you have to understand when you've hit plateaus, and I think people also identify plateaus too soon. So, you know, first and foremost, it's one thing to be 25 and think that you've hit a plateau in your career when you've been there a year. It's a whole nother thing when you've been at a company 5 years and you know where you are and you know where you want to go and how to get there, and you got to take a risk. And that's, so I was at the company at that point 5 years. I needed to make a change. I wanted to try something new. So I knew I wanted to get into technology and software because that was the hot thing in New York. You know, if you were anybody that was, you know, young and hip, you were probably selling tech and software in some way, shape, or form. At least that's the way I saw it. And there's a lot of people that aren't in tech and software that sell. And I appreciate you all.
But, sure. It's kind of the Mad Men of the 60s, right?
You know,
selling advertising, but you're selling technology in Manhattan. Selling
technology. You want to be a part of a startup and grow with it. And, you know, so I didn't know what I was getting into. I just knew that I wanted to go and do it. I had crossed paths with a leader at a company called Yext prior to me even applying. His name is Brian Rakowski. And we had crossed paths at an event that they had 3 years before I even applied. And then I went and I had applied once that I knew I wanted to transition. I saw Yext as a growing org. and we started a conversation and it fizzled and never went anywhere. And then out of nowhere, I got a call one day and it was from that Brian Rakowski. And he said, hey, let's go have lunch. And the next thing you know, I'm on a path to starting my career in management in software. And I can tell you right now, I had no idea what I was doing. I had been managing for 3 years at that point. I had no idea what I was doing in sales development. That was the idea. It was like, hey, you've been selling outside sales, right? Full cycle from the inception of the prospect to close for 3 years. You know what you're doing. So come on in and do the sales development thing. Yeah. They don't translate. So I had to kind of, I failed really hard for 4 months and then got into a groove, if you will.
Kind of like an actor, you know, you apply for a role. Well, the role says you have to ride a horse. Okay. You get the job. You go figure out how to ride a horse, right?
Ride a horse. That's it. You know, it's something that goes back to what you asked me earlier. How did I make the connection between music and sales? And the answer there is that the second you can identify that being on stage with the amount of adrenaline rush that you get is the same adrenaline rush when you make a cold call, you're unstoppable.
Okay. So why aren't you at Yext anymore?
So about a year into that job, we went public. And when you go public, companies change, people change. And I was offered at the same time an opportunity to go and transition and build out a team at eMarketer, which I looked at as like, you know what, do what you just did, but do it again, do it faster, do it bigger, give it a shot. And so that's, you know, it was like, hey, we held your hand the first time in a way. I had a lot of assistance from a lot of different people. And then this time it was like, okay, go and apply everything you just learned, do it again. I saw that as a great opportunity. So I went and tackled it. And I spent a year there and it was a blast.
How did you enjoy the transition from direct sales, whether it be individual contributor to manager to sales development? Was that a fun transition for you? Did you struggle with not having a quota to hit, or did you miss that? Or what was the transition like for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple things in there. I think the first thing is that to understand the transition there, like the individual contributor manager, that's one transition in and of itself. You need to learn how to talk to people and lead people. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing with that. And there's so many different things that they don't even teach you when you get into that, right? So I started with a mindset of like, everyone's going to be like me and everyone's going to be just go and want to go crush it. And then had to adapt to, I need to lead the team to be in a vision or a growth mode. And that was a completely different mentality. So you needed to have that. And the second thing, so going into sales development, honestly, like I saw it as a niche. Like it was like, cool. Like I know how to do this. And other people hate picking up the phone. I don't mind it. Like, let's go pick up a phone. I'm going to go teach people how to do this all day. And like, it was like, let's just go. It was like, I'm going to become the subject matter expert in this field. Mm. Why would I not go do that? So I've never looked back. I honestly have never looked back. I thought it was, I still think it's the best thing I've ever done.
Well, you know, your comment about the transition from sales representative to manager rings true for me. Anybody who's listened to this podcast has heard me say before, you know, it was a difficult transition for me when I was a manager at Xerox. I was terrible. I was just so ineffective. And to your point, you know, they didn't really give me a ton of direction. And so I made the mistake of, well, Brian, this is how I did it in territory. So this is how you should do it in territory. And it's like, no, it doesn't really convert that way. So I wasn't difficult to work with, I don't think, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so as a result, you know, the relationship between those on my team and myself was surface deep. It wasn't very good at all. Right.
Yeah. Right. And then what happens is they don't trust you.
Yeah.
And when they don't trust you, you can only grow so much. You can only do so many things.
But then when I converted from manager into national sales instructor in Xerox, that's when I found my passion. Like I loved the training aspect. I loved it. I actually wish that I had done it reverse. I actually wish that I had been a trainer first. And then I think I would have been a more effective manager having that. I think about my career right now. If I took a job as a manager somewhere, I think I'd be much more effective today because I know how to coach people, how to engage people versus just from sales rep to manager. I didn't make that switch very easily at all.
You know, honestly, it's a traditional path for some traditional companies is that you don't get into management before they make you a trainer. I've seen that model a lot. And frankly, I believe really into it because if you can train your team, then you're going to get them, you know, you're going to get the best results out of them. Right. I actually, the biggest criticism I have of today's business world is that we don't train our people enough and we don't have leaders that are invested enough to do it.
We're so focused on the number. We're so focused on the outcomes. We don't focus on the pieces that make us get there.
So Brian, I'm going to use that as a soundbite when I incorporate that in my proposals going forward. Yeah, I'm just going to put a video in there. I'm just going to press play, and you can hear this from somebody outside of my company. You got to invest in your people more. Boom, boom. It's just going to be like a beat. It's going to be my ringtone is what I think it's going to be.
And you know what? You're more welcome to it. Please do. I think it's really true about when I got to AirCall. By this point I had been through, you know, Barry Ryan selling through Curiosity, Sandler training. I'd been through Challenger Sale, met Matt Dixon, talked to him, been through Oscar training. I'd been through all these different sales methodologies. And now here I am entering into a company that's never invested in a sales methodology ever. Hmm. So you have brand new sellers that started at the company as SDRs, got promoted to AEs, have no methodology outside of the training that's been given to them. And we're saying, hey, look, we need you to go and crush it, right? No, like that's not how that works. That's right. Not a recipe for success. So I agree with you. One of the best things that I've ever been able to do in the past year and a half has been able to take everything that's up here as much as that I can find. I'm pointing at my head, by the way, people listening at home, and try to put it down on paper in a way that I can try to give as much of it as I possibly can to this youthful team.
When you started with AirCall, which is about a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you started there, was it a net new role? Were you inheriting something before there? Did you have a chance to plant your flag and create this? What was it like when you first started?
Both. So there was an SDR team that had been there, but had started been phasing down a little bit. The company, Series B company, trying to figure out, you know, what's our ICP? Where do we go? How do we get into this mid-market segment? How do we grow our average deal size? And then they hired me as their first sales dev leader. The goal really was to grow the division, but also grow the ICB, like figure out how to go up market. So it was a big order to fill.
Have you had to lay off as a result of the last 6 or 7 months?
We had to do a little bit of it. And not a tremendous amount, more just operating lean. We're now a Series C company. We see big growth happening right now for our future in terms of people and where we're heading. We didn't lay off because of sales being down or anything of that nature. We just saw it as like, all right, we need to be smart. We don't want to be a traditional SaaS company, yeah, just burning cash, burning money for the hell of it. You know, it's not the right time to do that. But what we did do is we invested back into our people, in terms of, you know, whether it be training or supplies for home or whatever it may be, absolute opportunity there has been galore. And then on top of it, now the team's almost fully remote and we're hiring right now down in Tennessee to now expand my team again. So it's like there's been new opportunity that's come from the changes.
Brian, quite the ride you've had, man. Do you still sing?
I sing. So yes. So I now sing for the fire department when on their ceremonies and things of that nature as of recently. But I haven't done a show in about 2 years, and that's just because of the birth of the third. Yeah. When you have your third youngest come along, it's, you get a little busy. So, but it's funny. My wife and I were talking this past month, I have to get back into doing a show and show the boys what daddy can do a little bit. And so that's gotta come soon.
Well, I know you have twins and I know you have a newer born as well. And so I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And I'm so thrilled up until this point, at least the bell hasn't gone off behind you. We've been able to do this in one shot so far, which has been great. But Brian, let's close with this. I always like to ask anybody who's on as a guest, if anybody listening was looking for a piece of advice, just one that maybe has served you well in your life. It doesn't have to be sales. It could be about life. It could be sales. It could be about music. It could be about anything. Anything come to mind that you think you might want to share? If anybody said, Brian, what's worked for you?
Yeah, there's one thing that comes immediately to mind, and it's something that no one ever really talks about enough. You got to be true to yourself, and you got to do it on purpose. So I think that so often we're trying to live into the expectations either a family member, our boss, our company, or someone has for us. And we forget to live to our own expectations. It's as simple as you have to be true to yourself, right? I've named probably 6 or 7 different things in this single podcast that I have my hand involved in, in my life. But the thing is, the truth of the matter is that we all get 24 hours in a day and we decide how we live them. And if you want to live 8 of them at work and then spend the rest of your time, you know, mowing the lawn, and because that's your passion, then my God, go mow the lawn. You can mow mine, right?
Right.
But you know, whatever it is, make sure that you're living into your passion. Make sure you're being true to yourself. And if you can do that, then you're following your heart, and only the best things can come from that.
Brian, it's been a real pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for being here today.
Paul, thanks for the invitation, and it's been a pleasure.
It's been mine. Okay, everybody, let's wrap this baby up right now. Remember, your intention matters. Why? Because, as you know, that's the result you'll tend to get. We're out of here. We'll do it again next week. Be safe, everybody, and let's go Raptors. We'll be right back.